Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are you doing this week, my friend?
I'm good, Jim. I'm doing really good. It feels like we've just dipped our toe in the sort of middle, like the summer sort of football, not game scheduled doldrums. Do you know what I mean? It's not like boring or there's nothing going on, but it's like this is sort of the beginning of like that, I guess you could call it the football fan quiet period. How's that? Like we've just kind of dipped our toe in that now. Like it's starting.
But we also get to worry about other more important things like going out golfing, Andy.
Plenty of golf to be had. Plenty of summer golf to be had. And if you're in the Northeast right now, just stay out of the rough. Because it's just brutal. What have I played? Three times in the past week since we did the last show. I've played three rounds of golf and I'm just like, man, that rough. It doesn't matter what course it's at. It's not like super high or like, you know, old school U.S. Open rough. It's just the grass is very healthy this time of year. And particularly this year with all the sort of rain that we've had. And for those of you that also live in Northeast, you know, because you've probably been mowing your grass every 5 days instead of like once a week or every 10 days. But it's just makes the game a little bit harder. How's that for a term?
It definitely is that, but I'll tell you what, for our listeners, Andy, who may not know this, do not feel sorry for Andrew P. Shea on the golf course. Andy is an exceptional golfer. I've been out there with him. He's exceptional. He needs to be challenged. He needs it to be harder. He's not one of these hackers like we are. He's a good golfer, so no sympathy for you, Andy.
Got it.
Live with that. You've got to wear it. All right, Andy. Let's get going. You're right. This is sort of a strange kind of timing as we get into more of the off season, the quiet period. But that creates kind of a news and notes kind of week for us, which I actually like these kind of weeks for our show.
Me too.
We're able to look around, see a few different things that prompt some show ideas and some conversation that you and I have already begun. But let's get to it. One of the things I scour the news looking for different tidbits, and I particularly like when you get news from a national environment, national college football writers
right. That
might reference Penn State, and you get to view from a little bit different angle how the program is perceived. And there was an article, and I love when different places, different sources do this. They get their sources of coaches from competitors. In this situation, the article was about the Big Ten, and they got anonymous quotes from coaches about the various programs. So there was talk about, there were quotes for each program in the Big Ten. Obviously, we want to take a look at some of these quotes about Penn State's program. And a couple of them struck a chord with both of us, I think. And I'd like to hit on these quotes and get your reaction to them, Andy. Oh,
yeah, let's.
Perhaps one of the best ones was calling Penn State the best of the good programs.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard a phrase that sums things up better than that one right there?
Yeah, that one hit me like a shovel because I'm like, I don't know who the coach is, but he definitely nailed it. I mean, and he went on to say, he said, you know, they're never great, right? Like they would have been in the 12-team playoff last year. But they were so far behind Ohio State and Michigan that it didn't matter if they would have made the playoff or not, right? Like, and then the last bit was as bit of a shovel swing as the first bit. The expectation is to compete with those schools, and they've almost always trailed them under James Franklin. So there's a the thing that struck me about this overall was, well, first of all, the best of the good programs. And they are one of the best of the good programs. So they're not your, like, perennial top five, top six team. Let's just put it right there. Or top four team if you want to go by the now old college football playoff standards. That's the first time I got to say that. But let's just say six, right? You're going to have probably you're looking at in a 12-team playoff, you're going to now have six solid contenders every year. They're not a top six. But of the next six or eight, they're generally, you know, one of the better of those next six or eight, but they're never great. And it goes back to 2023 for me. There were so many pieces in place, so many things roster-wise, depth-wise, coaching-wise. You know, the marquee quarterback, get it, first-year starter. You know, two elite running backs coming off elite first seasons as college football players. Yeah, the black hole wide receiver. There was still hope. Remember, Penn State fans, when there was hope prior to the 2023 season at the wide receiver position, at least just a little bit of it. But I look back at 2023, and I thought they were on dead solid par, if not even, you know, in spots and in phases of the game, they had opportunities to match up and exceed Ohio State and Michigan. That was going in, and man, I think last year was the quintessential definition of the best of the good programs, because they navigated the rest of their schedule pretty well, right? They were never really under duress in a football game for the other 10 games, right? I'm thinking off the top of my head here, Jimmy, but I don't recall them being in a duress of the game with 12 or 9 minutes to go in a game for the other 10 wins from last season during the regular season. That means that when the talent isn't level, in other words, good, they're the best of the good programs. They have more talent than most. But when the talent is more level, they're never even on the, hardly ever on the same playing field. And nothing revealed that more to me like last year in a nutshell. I thought winning 10 games was a basement. I thought 11, I thought they could win 12 or 13 games last year. I thought 11 was a low kind of bar. I thought they could win one of those games. I thought they were good enough to win one of those games. And they weren't even close. So, you know, and I think the part where he says the expectation is to compete with those schools and be one of those top six, that is true. And under James, they've never reached that plateau.
They haven't. And I think, Andy, you hit it with the last season. The 10 wins were 10. They were not threatened. The two losses to Ohio State and Michigan, and I'm separating the bowl game, because, well, yeah, it's, that's different.
That's different.
But
it is.
The Ohio State Michigan team, I did feel that they had the talent to be with and win those games. So it felt like 1-1 should have been the way they came out of those two games. And obviously, they did not. Now, it kind of ties in, though, Andy, to the other two quotes. And I'm going to give them both to you at the same time. One coach said, they don't have the scary offensive skill players since McSorley and Saquon Barkley, and that this season is on Drew Aller and his development under the new offensive coordinator. So those two kind of tie in. Is that the difference for this Penn State program, the offensive skill players, to get to the point where they could beat a Michigan or an Ohio State?
You know, the part I'll do the second part first. That I feel like I'm on a TV game show. I'll take the second part of the answer first, Jimmy. I was just having fun. They haven't scared elite programs with their offensive skill position guys since Barkley and McSorley. I'm like, come on, that can't be true. And then when I thought about it and compared it to, you know, generally speaking, Ohio State over the entire time since then, and more recently, Michigan, I'm like, Yeah, that's 100% true. It's on the offense side. What Penn State did have last year, and in some degrees, I think a lot of ways the year before as well, they had that absolute scary on the other side of the ball defense, right? They had that on defense, but it was such an imbalance between what they had on offense and what they had on defense that it just left this, you know, river-sized gap. And it's 100% right. These are so accurate, they're almost scary to me, Jimmy. That is the difference. They haven't had a wide receiver scare you in how long? A quarterback, you know, that could take the game by the throat and put the fear of God in you. They have good quarterbacks, but they don't have that. I think they have a couple running backs that are really, really good, but they don't have enough support to be able to scare you, right? Or they haven't shown to be able to take over a football game and win it on its own merits, aka Michigan. So it's 100% right. And the part about Aller, how he develops under another new offensive coordinator this season, that being Andy Kotelnicki, 100%. 100%. And that's not to throw it on Drew Aller's shoulder. That's saying, no, he needs to take that second step forward. And you can expect, because he does have talent, that there will be a jump. Is it a big enough leap to be that kind of difference maker? That's a tall mountain to climb, but he has the tools in his toolkit to do it. And that could be a game changer for Penn State. I don't put it on Drew Aller saying he has to do it. I'm saying if Drew Aller does it, that is a game changer for Penn State. That's the way I'll put it, Jimmy.
Well, at running back, you know, we all know what Saquon was. But, and I brought this up before, at the quarterback position, until Drew Aller, the highest rated quarterback was Sean Clifford that came in the James Franklin era. And he was the number around 200 ranked player coming out of high school. So Drew Aller is the first opportunity for James Franklin to go to war with a high level, a potentially high level quarterback. It so is. I think you're right when you put it, can he reach that ceiling? It didn't happen under the previous offensive coordinator. Could it happen with this current one? I do agree with that statement also. Andy, that's it for quarter one. Lots more to go. Stick around for quarter two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. We're talking Penn State football. And Andy, we're talking about when we started quarter number one, how often I like to find these national articles where you get what do outsiders, what do the national writers think of the Penn State program? And we talked about the one with in quarter number one about some anonymous quotes about the Penn State program, and they seem to be right on the nose with those. There was another article, and this I do recall the writer was Stuart Mandel, writes for The Athletic, and he was taking fan questions. And one of the questions, and it's kind of a fun one, and I'd like us to play along, but James Franklin and Penn State were referenced in this. He was asked the question, which programs over the next decade, which program would he buy? What program would he sell? What program would he hold? Okay. Kind of the whole stock market kind of analogy. And the one program he picked that he was buying was Oregon. And with Dan Lanning, I think Oregon has shown well under Lanning. They had a very good season last year. They couldn't get over the Washington hump. They had a good season. They're now shifting to the Big Ten. But they also have the backing of Nike, Phil Knight. So they seem well positioned to handle this NIL world. When it was asked about a hold, it was Georgia. With Kirby Smart, the feeling is he's young enough to stick around. Georgia not only has been the best program over the last 4 or 5 years, there's no reason why they shouldn't stay there. All right. You know what's coming then. Yeah. So what program would he sell? And of all the programs in the country, he selects Penn State. Yeah. And the reason for selling was he felt James Franklin had reached his ceiling. The program had with 10 wins or so. It kind of ties into what we talked about in the previous segment. Have they hit their ceiling with 10 wins? They can't get over that hump. They can't get over it to hit the Ohio State and Michigan programs. Andy, do you agree with his buy, hold, and specifically the sell?
Okay, love the hold. The hold is just the safe, chalkest bet you're ever going to make, particularly with Nick Saban gone at Alabama, right? Like, that opens up a little more safe chalk money, right? Like, that's the best hold call out there. I have a little different take on the Oregon one. It's a little bit about Dan Lanning. It's a little bit about, I think it's, I understand, and you said it right about the NIL era. I think the transfer portal, I think Oregon's biggest hump to get over, it always had the ceiling in terms of recruiting, right? But I think the transfer portal has sort of eliminated that, you know, that ceiling in terms of recruiting for Oregon. And it's not all tied to Dan Lanning. I do like some things about him. I do think he's a little bit ignorantly arrogant as a game day coach. And hence the reason, name me a big game that he's won, right? Like, I like his record. I like where he shifted everything. He hasn't won a big game yet. I'm not seeing him. I'm looking for him and I'm not seeing him. I've seen, like, it's sort of the same Oregon, but it has a different, it's a different outfit. So it looks different. But at its core to me, it's still big game O for what? Oh, they can't win a big game. I keep waiting for it. If he starts winning big games, particularly in the Big Ten, they could skyrocket. It is a risky but good buy. And the selling on Penn State, you know, here's the part of it that struck me more than anything else. Is this a fan base that really fastens itself that really fashions Penn State as a national title contender, right? Is it still a fan base that, and I'm like, I don't, when I look at Penn State, where their program's at and where it is under James, I clearly don't see it as a national title contender. But is that what it is for the tradition rich and the history of the program and where it is today? Is that still realistic? I'm not saying I don't know either way. I'm not saying I doubt any answer. I'm just wondering, is that realistic? I don't think it is unrealistic in any way, shape, or form. But is it really, as a fan, a realistic thing to have, but think that Penn State is a national title contender? Based on the last decade, looking at the next decade, okay, Jimmy, you're the Penn State fan. Are they a national title contender looking forward in your eyes?
Before I answer that question, Andy, I'm going to ask you a question. Set Penn State aside, how many teams do you think are national title contenders? Name them.
Good question. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon. Right now, Texas and Ole Miss I'd throw in there.
Okay. Now, the interesting thing is you have Michigan in there. I'm not sure. 3 years ago,
I know,
Michigan was ready to throw Jim Harbaugh out the door. They were not happy campers. They were losing minimum 3 games a year.
Correct.
And they were able to get over that hump. Now with Jim Harbaugh gone, do you really think they're still national title contenders?
I don't know. I know that they are the biggest question mark. I know there's still, like, all the seeds are in place and the maps are drawn and the pipeline is stuffed. There's a lot there, but Jim Harbaugh, you know, no matter what you think of him, at the end of the day, he always was, even when they were ready to shove him out the door, he's still a really, really, really good coach of the game of football. There's a football coach and there's a coach at the game of football.
Now, Andy, and the reason why I asked you that question, and I would agree with you, I don't think of Penn State necessarily as a national title contender.
Yeah.
But how many programs are
right
now, you know, as I said, a year ago you would not have placed Ole Miss in that list.
Not a year ago, no.
And you know, a team like Washington made it to the playoffs, but we don't think of them. I'm not sure Oregon has been there enough. That again, we talked about the reason to buy Oregon in this NIL world, but
right.
You know, that might be a bit premature. So, you know, it seems to me a little bit like the criticism of Penn State and James Franklin might be a little bit harsh.
I agree.
Because if you're talking literally like 3 or 4 teams that you can consider national championship contenders, that's, you know, a very small percentage. And, you know, I think, did you mention Texas, right? But I don't know. Did you mention Oklahoma also?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, you know, like how many of these schools, like Oklahoma, USC, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, LSU, Florida, you're not including those teams in the list. And Penn State being the best of the good teams, of all those teams I just mentioned, is that such a bad place to be, Andy?
So here's what I'll say in reply, Jimmy, and this is the way I look at it. There has been so much upheaval and change in college football in the last 5 years, right? Think of just post-COVID. Let's just go from 2021 to today. Look how much college football and the landscape had changed. So the way I look at everything, right, the way you view everything through your lens, you might view it through the same lens you used to, but it's changed so much it doesn't look anything like it used to. That's what I think Penn State is suffering a little bit from right now. I think they're absolutely in tier two of college football, right? They're not one of the top six, but I think they're one of the top three or four in the second tier. I think 10 games, winning 10 games, I think now in the last three, 4 years since post-COVID, that's a pretty good, that's a good college football season. But 10 years ago, that wasn't good enough. You know what I mean? Because it never got you anywhere. So I just think there's such an upheaval and change that it's very difficult to say, you know, that James has reached a ceiling. I think this is kind of harsh, but I also think if I look at the last decade and look forward, the last decade was under a little bit of a different era for the most part. Can he do it in a different era? That's what, and I don't know. And I do agree that this is a little bit of harsh criticism. I agree.
Yes, and I don't know, Andy, I'm the Penn State fan here.
You are.
And am I happy that they lose to Ohio State every year, that they lose to Michigan now every year? No, I want to win those games. And I feel like last season was a great opportunity to at least split in those games. And they didn't. They lost them both. But I can't fall under this. So that's it forever and ever. They won't get over that hump. As I said, I keep using Jim Harbaugh in Michigan as the example. Until this last couple year streak, Jim Harbaugh in Michigan was probably behind Penn State.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
We had, you know, Clemson just a few years ago would have been one of those teams you named along with Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia.
Yep.
You don't do that anymore. So, you know, are we at the point, Andy, where we're saying if you're not Alabama, if you're not Georgia, if you're not Ohio State, you can't win the national championship? And if that's the case, it's pretty crazy. And we're still including Alabama. My question is, remember, Nick Saban's not going to be there anymore.
Correct.
I feel pretty good that Alabama's still going to be good. I don't know if Alabama's still going to be great, Andy. So that's going to have to be the final word. Coming up, quarter three, your questions. And we ask Andy. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College. And we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We're going to take your questions. All you got to do, you want to send a question to Andy, download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. All right, Andy. Actually, we've got a couple of the questions this week, Andy, kind of relate to what we've been talking about the first two segments. But I'm going to start with a different topic. And this is Jack from Dallas, PA, who says, I was surprised to see Penn State a 10-point favorite on the road versus West Virginia. I can see that being a really tough game. What are your thoughts, Andy?
Whoo, Jack, 10 points. That's on the road. Okay, so that means essentially that they think Penn State's possibly two touchdowns better than West Virginia. Look, they kicked the crap out of that West Virginia team last year. I thought it would be a little bit better of a game, but Penn State played good enough that West Virginia had no say in the outcome of that game. And that was good on Penn State. West Virginia kept its coach, got its quarterback back. I know they lost some guys up front. That defense was bad last year. They'll be a little better this year. To me, that line feels like they're still riding Penn State's defensive train a little bit. And why not, right? Like, I know they changed coordinators. I know Manny Diaz isn't anymore, but I know the dudes they got. I'm like, yeah, I could kind of see that. So it still feels – 10 feels like 4 points too high. 6.5, make it interesting. 6.5 maybe, but 10? Ooh, boy, Jimmy. That feels like too much. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it is one of the three bruisers that I have on Penn State's 2024 schedule. And even if it was a home game, I'd say it was tough. I think this is going to be a bruiser. And I think it's going to reveal some things about this Penn State team very quickly. And I don't think West Virginia will ask questions that other teams won't ask of Penn State. I just think West Virginia is going to ask them in a hurry. How's that for an analysis?
My question is, you know, is people are reacting to how West Virginia, the number of wins they had last year, return a lot, as you put it. They get this at home, first game, their fan base will be excited. Penn State's coming in with two new coordinators. I see why people are questioning that 10 points. I would have anticipated more like 7 or 8 points, Andy. But I could also see the other side. Is West Virginia a fraud? I don't know that. We've got a long time to go before we have to make our predictions. I'm going to use up that time. All right, let's go to Johnny in Crestwood, who says, Andy, with the players getting both NIL money and now direct compensation from the schools, plus nonstop free agency with the portal, this is for both you, Andy, and Jim. Where do you stand on your college football fandom? Are you getting tired of it becoming a semi-pro league? Do you just not care? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm not tired of it being a semi-pro league because it was always a feeder system for professional sports where the balance of power and the revenue opportunity was not anywhere remotely close to being anything near something that would even begin to say, use the word equal. It just wasn't even in the same hemisphere. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I kind of like the transfer portal because I think it makes for fast change. I like the freedom for the athletes. I'm a big proponent of getting what you can. I was never a big fan of so much power being and money, power, money, same thing, right? You're talking about college football. What are you talking about? Power. What are you talking about? Money. They're the same thing. I was never a big fan of it all being in such one small basket. And I still think the universities, and I still think there is power that the coaching staffs and the universities do have. I just don't think it's as upfront and in your faces as it used to be. And do I get tired of hearing the phrase, you know, I mean, how many broadcasts when you watch college football do you have to say he came from the transfer from where? I think it's 30 times in every game, and I'm not kicking broadcasters in the gut. I'm just saying, because that's how much activity happens in the transfer portal. I am a huge fan of guys in like the MAC or at an FBS school or at a lower level D1 that come up and start having an impact. Arnold, you know, Ebikidi is a great example that start having an impact at a Power 3 program now, maybe Power 4, but soon to be Power 3, then Power 2. At the higher levels, I love to watch those guys succeed and enjoy that. So, yeah, I don't think my college fandom has subsided, and I feel it is a more balanced product because it's always been a feeder system.
Andy, going into, I'm okay with NIL and players making money.
Yep.
I have no problem with that at all. I have no problem with having the transfer portal and the player's ability to have that freedom to move. However, here's my however.
However,
the NIL has been perverted from an opportunity for players to make money on their name, image, and likeness, and it's just become a way for players to go to the highest bidder, okay? Yeah. Who's going to pay me the most money? We're seeing this lawsuit with that Rashada versus Florida. Florida allegedly promised him $13 million to attend there. Now, part of his lawsuit is, well, they reneged on the money, and he lost out on what Miami offered him. So there was zero doubt he was going to the highest bidder. And I'm not crazy about that, but I still can live with that. If it wasn't for now, the freedom of the transfer portal has tied in with the NIL. Forget name, correct, image, and likeness. The player is moving because Ohio State is offering more money than the team that the player currently plays on. So it's that combination of the two that I don't like. Now, with that said, Penn State has been very, very fortunate. You're seeing other teams with 20, 30 players leaving through the portal and that many coming in through the portal.
Correct.
That's not happening at Penn State. I'm actually pretty good with how Penn State has, I don't want to say how they handled it, but the end result for Penn State. The players they've lost, the players that have moved on so that they could get playing time elsewhere, zero problem with that, Andy. Zero problem.
Yep.
The players that they've brought in, they filled in areas that they could use help. You brought in a good example, Ebikidi coming from Temple. Chop Robinson from Maryland, where they were probably not using him well. Even the players, like they brought in a Johnny Dixon and seemed to develop him. It seems to be the right way, or the way I'm comfortable with at Penn State, Andy. Okay. So I'm okay with it. That doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. It could have just as easily been somebody offered, how would you feel if Ohio State offered Nick Singleton so much money that he felt he had to make that change?
They could do that. They have enough, Jimmy.
We haven't had to deal with that yet.
Not yet.
Yet, Andy. So, all right, let's get to our next question. All right, let's go to Kevin in Springfield, who says, it feels like success this season comes down to the quarterback or the wide receivers.
Nope.
I don't know.
No.
Which is it?
No. The wide receivers are not going to be any help at that level. They are not capable of being help at that level. Sorry. I need 9 games of them being helped at the next level for me to even begin to think about changing my thoughts and beliefs on that. The quarterback, I think if he can find another level that matches the tools that he has and go a little bit beyond that, that is the game changer for Penn State. I said it earlier in the show. It's still a really good question. Success is not on his – success or failure is not at Drew Aller's feet. But success can be influenced greatly for Penn State by what Drew Aller does with his arm. How's that, Jimmy? And I don't think he's ever he's just not going to be the type of quarterback that's going to put Penn State in a position to lose football games, per se. You know, like, you know, lose 2 or 3 in a row or finish 1 or 2 games above 500. I just don't see him. He's not going to perform like that on a consistent basis. But I think if he can get above what you might expect or think he can, man, he could really, really have a huge, huge influence on this Penn State season because he's got running backs to help him and he's got a defense to back him up. He's got a really good defense on the other side of the ball. If he can exceed expectations, Penn State might be able to do something a little bit special.
Andy, I'm going to place it on Andy Kotelnicki, and here's why. I think that Drew Aller has talent, skill set, and they haven't taken full advantage of it. I think at wide receiver, no, they're not going to be superstars. Okay. Nope. But they should not be as bad as they were last year. So this whole passing game, I'm not sure if it's like totally I blame the offensive coordinator from last year, but things just didn't click. They weren't right. Okay. And I know that's kind of a generic statement, but I think people understand what I'm saying. This year, you've got Julian Fleming coming in. You hopefully have a healthy Trey Wallace. You have tremendous tools at tight end. I think it's now up to this offensive coordinator to say, here's how I put the puzzle together. It may not be elite on the offensive line, but I think they'll be good enough. There are running backs. It's the same way. Nick Singleton, we know the talent level that he has. We saw that 2 years ago as a true freshman. Did he get worse? I don't think so. That's still Nick Singleton, and his skills were not taken advantage of. I'm running over, Andy. That's it for quarter three. We've got more to come. Quarter four, stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four. Andy, sometimes I blame my co-host for going over. Quarter three, that was me. I was starting to get going. I had some momentum and I forgot to look at the clock. Had to cut myself off. But we're talking about this issue of, you know, where can the improvement be? The question that we had was, who was that? Kevin from Springfield asked, you know, is it on the wide receivers? Is it on the quarterback? I'm putting it on the offensive coordinator. I don't think the coordinator is going to make the receivers great, Andy, but I'd like to just see them be at least average. And I think that would also click with Drew Aller also. All right. Andy, for quarter four, I want to harken back all the way to quarter number two when we were debating this buy, sell, hold that a national writer, he was asked about what programs over the next decade, who he would buy stock in, who would he hold stock in, and who would he sell. He had Penn State as a sell. I said it. I think that's a bit harsh, Andy. I do. Because other than Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, those absolute elite, and you know what? He's pinning something on Oregon that we haven't seen proof yet there.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So we haven't seen it yet. So anyway, with that said, we spent the time talking about that and, you know, was that a good call on Penn State or not? Let's open up the question, Andy. I'm going to ask you. You've got the entire country here. 100 programs. Who are you going to buy stock in? Who are you going to sell stock in? And who are you going to hold?
So I'm going to start with my buy. And my buy is Ole Miss. My buy is Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin as the head coach. You want to know why? Because in this crazy, crazy, crazy world, what are you showing me, Jimmy?
Look at that name right there on my list, Andy. Lane Kiffin.
So I'm buying on Ole Miss as long as Lane Kiffin's the head coach. And this is, I'll just go back. It is because Lane Kiffin's a little different. Lane Kiffin doesn't operate like everybody else, or didn't operate like everybody else. He saw college football, big picture umbrella, a little bit different. He pushed the envelope. He walked across lines, et cetera, et cetera. Guess what? All those lines and all those envelopes he pushed, they're now fully legal. Nobody knows how to play this NIL, transfer portal, management of players, roster upheaval overhaul, quick overturn, short bursts, not playing for 2 years from now, playing for right now. I just feel like Lane Kiffin, it's almost like the cat's out of the bag, right? Like, and now it's not only is the cat out of the bag, it's all legal. It's all above board. He doesn't have to worry about anything or any repercussions. Give a guy like that who was always willing to walk any line or push any envelope, give him the freedom of no jurisprudence and it now being legal. I really feel strongly about Ole Miss as a buy. My hold is pretty standard, but my hold is Alabama. And my hold is Alabama because the board's not going to run away from who Alabama was or what Nick Saban was for the Crimson Tide. He's going to hold on to that. But he is going to do that in his likeness and image. And this guy is really good at stepping into shoes that seem bigger than he is and absolutely killing it for no reason that you could, tangible reason generally that you could put your hand on other than, man, that guy's really good at what he does. So I'm going to hold on Alabama and I'm going to put the Penn State premise under, okay, if I look at the last decade and then look at the next decade, I'm going to put that on my selling one. I'm going to do that, use that as a comparison, say, well, I, you know, it's a ceiling. My sell is USC. Look at the last 10 years. What? It's going to be different? They're eerily similar to Penn State, aren't they? In so many ways, shapes, and forms. Look at the last decade. Apply it to what, to everything that he was talking about for Penn State. You can look at it and sort of similarly apply it to Penn State. I think two programs, marquee, rich, tradition, historical, have had success at the highest levels. I think two programs that are sort of side by side and have been side by side for several years now are Penn State and USC in so many ways, shapes, and forms. So my first crack is going to be buy Ole Miss, hold on Alabama, sell USC.
I'm in agreement with you on Ole Miss. The only thing that you didn't mention about Lane Kiffin is the guy could coach too.
Yeah. He's very good at the coaching of the game of football, right? Like there's a football coach and then there's coaching the game of football. He's really good at coaching the game of football, particularly offense.
I don't agree on USC and Penn State being comparable. I think they're different kinds of programs. And I think USC is a bit of a sleeping giant with that, you know, the Hollywood, the Southern California recruiting area. And it seemed like a match made in heaven with Lincoln Riley. Now, I'm going to sell on Lincoln Riley. I'm not sure I'm going to sell on USC. I think there it's a program in search of the right coach. Now, I would have agreed Lincoln Riley was the right guy, but it doesn't appear that he is. Now, let me give you a couple of guys, that a couple programs I have on the sell side. Brian Kelly and LSU. I think that's it's got such a rich recruiting area. And maybe that's more Brian Kelly than the program again.
So,
but I'm not sure he's the right guy for LSU.
So I so badly want to agree with you because I'm not necessarily a Brian Kelly fan. To be honest with you, Jimmy, I'm not a fan of Brian Kelly. But man, when they hired him, I'm like, what? That just makes absolutely no sense. And look at it now, Jimmy. I don't know. I desperately want them to fail. But I don't think they are.
The expectations are so high. I think that inevitably they're going to disappoint there.
Okay.
I'm going to sell on Clemson. I think Dabo Sweeney is not prepared for this new world. Here's two other teams I'm going to put on the sell list. Oklahoma and Texas. And let me explain.
Really?
Texas, maybe short term. Short term, maybe. I get it. But I think in a couple years, both those programs are saying, what the heck did we do by getting into the Southeast Conference?
Yeah,
we're used to beating up on those Big 12 teams. It's not the same here in the Southeast Conference.
I'm completely opposite on you, Jimmy. I have Texas as one of my two buys. I think they've lived their abyss. I think they've walked through, you know, have been in the dark hole in the bottom looking for a hand to reach up. And I mean, they were a college football playoff team. And you're right. I do like your reasoning of the SEC. It just feels like to me that they've walked through the dark hole and they've somehow found their way out on the other side. And that's harder to do than falling in the hole sometimes.
It's much harder than falling in the hole.
Right.
And Texas, I get it. And I knew that one would be the one that would ruffle feathers, Andy. But I'm doing that entirely on if they were staying in the Big 12, I'd probably have them on the buy column.
Yeah.
But that move to the Southeast Conference, I think it's going to be a lot tougher than those teams realize. They made a financial decision, and hey, Good for them. I don't have an issue with them doing that. But when their schedule starts carrying Alabama and Georgia and LSU and Ole Miss, on and on and on, Andy, as opposed to Kansas and Kansas State and Iowa State, it's a different world for them. I'm not sure. Actually, you know, other than Georgia and maybe Alabama, boy, that Southeast Conference is going to get ugly for a lot of teams.
It could be. It could be. The other one I agree with you on is Dabo at Clemson on sell. And I say that because I think his time sort of is starting to wind down at Clemson. I'm not convinced his time as a coach is wound down. I just think he was so committed to the way he built Clemson up to what it was in his likeness and image that the changes he had, and he's not been able to do that. And I don't think he's able to recreate himself inside the Clemson bubble. I think he just has to get out of the bubble and recreate himself somewhere else. So that's why I'm selling on Clemson. And I think it's an attractive job. I really do. I think it's a very attractive job, but I just think he did it so differently and so like close to his heart. And they gave him so much runway and time to do it that he became bigger than the program. Right. And it's now the fall is slower, but it's a little bit tougher for him going down.
All right, let's go back on the buy side. And let me ask you this. I thought your Ole Miss answer was a good one because I agreed with it. But who are the other teams that could – Oregon I thought was a good one, but those teams, again, I'm still not convinced. Ole Miss, Washington, Oregon, Missouri, you know, these teams that seem to be on the cusp, Andy.
Yeah.
Can they really break through?
So I had three buy teams. I had Ole Miss, I had Texas, and are you ready? I have Utah on a buy list. I love – it could have been 10 years ago or it could be 10 years from now. That program just seems to know and be comfortable in its own skin. No matter what goes on around him, give me that.
I love that Utah program, the Utah coach. I'm not sure this new world, though, Andy, is right for them. By the way, I had them written down. I had Utah, but I didn't know which list to put them on. All right, Andy, that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership, with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.